Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 65. And this morning we'll begin studying the things concerning the millennium that the scriptures teach, and which also Brother Branham taught us concerning it. Now our problem is that we know so very little about it. There are only two scriptures that I'm aware of that speak specifically of the millennium at all. And one of them is found in Isaiah 65. The other is found in the book of Revelation chapter 20. So if we would open our Bibles at this time to the book of Isaiah, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they even call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the name that you taught us to pray in, or he taught us actually to pray in, which name that you gave him through inheritance. And Father, we come knowing that no man has any private interpretation to thy word, but your interpretation of your word is when you bring it to pass. Therefore, Father, we cannot speak outside of what your vindicated prophet and your scriptures say, for we have nothing to say outside these things. Therefore, Lord, as we study this thoughts on the millennium, we can only say, Father, what has been given to us to say. Help us to get ourselves out of the way as we look with anticipation of receiving this promise that you have spoken of in your Holy Bible, and that you and the words that came forth from your prophet concerning this promise, which is only for the elect. For we ask it humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, some think that this speaks of the New Jerusalem because the words say, in all my holy mountain. Yet a vindicated prophet spoke to us concerning this passage as though this pertains to the millennium, where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and cannot get to the people. In his sermon, He That Is In You, Brother Branham said, he that was in Daniel was greater than the lions. He could stop them hungry lions. So anything is greater than what he stops. So the lion rushed out, hungry to eat Daniel, and greater was he that was in Daniel than he that was in the lion. Now when the lion was first created, he was a friend of man. It's the devil that makes him to do that. That's right. In the millennium, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and shall lie down with the bullock. They'll not hurt or destroy in the millennium. The devil will be gone. It's the devil that makes wild beasts tear up and rip and eat, and things like that, the way that they do. It's Satan that does that, but greater was he that was in Daniel than he that was in the lion. See, greater was he that was in the prophet than he that was in the lion. Then over in the book of Revelation chapter 20, we see the second mention of the millennium. Revelation chapter 20, if you open your Bibles with me, it's quite lengthy. Beginning reading at verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him for how long?
1,000 years.
And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till how long?
1,000 years
shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead. and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ how long?
1,000 years.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the, how long? 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no part. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him how long? 1,000 years. Oh, it's getting quieter all the time. All right. And when the how long was expired? 1,000 years was expired. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil was deceived, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on him, from whose face the earth and the heavens had fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And as I mentioned last time, if you have the works of Christ, he's already been judged. These people are going to be judged for their own works. So if you have the works of Christ, there's nothing to judge about. It's already been done. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the study on the millennium will wrap up our series on the chronology of end time events, as far as I know. But since we will end our study with the millennium, I don't know if we're actually going to make it through all the way through this morning. Only God knows. But if you notice, I did not go into the two witnesses, because that is for the Jews, and we'll be enjoying 3.5 years at the wedding supper at that time. I did go into the Armageddon only because, not that it has anything to do with us, it doesn't. But I did not feel too compelled to go into it much. All I basically gave you is what Brother Branham and the Scripture gave and showed where it was placed in the tribulation period, which we saw after the two witnesses are rejected. I did this because as we see the buildup in the Middle East, where the United States has all but surrounded Russia, basically, trying to blockade them, and we know the tensions are high, but rest assured this war will take place at the end of the 3.5 year tribulation. And we'll have been gone for at least 3.5 years. It will be at the end of the tribulation period, bringing on the great atomic war that will cleanse the earth, getting it ready for the millennium. So when we see these things happening, don't panic. It's not going to affect you if you're elect. All right, Victory Day. From Victory Day, Brother Rasmussen, we have had many battles and spiritual battles. Many great V-Days that the church has had. I mean the church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about organizational systems now. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of believers down through the ages has had many great V-Days. We talk about, and we've had several wars and rumors of wars, and V-Days, and V-Days, and V-Days. And it'll finally wind up in the great Battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it. When it comes to the Battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing just before the great millennium. Just before the great millennium. Armageddon is to clean off the earth. She repurifies herself with atomic blowing and the volcanic ash, and things sinks the soaked blood of men upon the earth and sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth. The volcanic breaks out again and renews and cleanses the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live. Amen. I say like that. Yes, sir, there's coming a time when that'll be great. Now, Brother Branham calls it then the cleansing, the Armageddon is a cleansing for the millennium. Now, this morning, I would like to basically go through the scripture and what the prophet said, again, to show several things concerning the millennium. We began this study of the chronology of end time events because there seems to be such an air of pressure every time a news article comes out on one thing or another, and people have a tendency to place too much pressure upon themselves and others. And I thought if we could just see the events themselves and how each is a part of a series of events which constitutes the appearing, which is the parousia presence, then we will not become too alarmed when we see some of the events coming into view, knowing there are other events to follow. So if you know that this event has to happen, and you're looking at this event happening now, and you know that this one doesn't come till after this one, then when this one happens, you don't worry too much. And the whole purpose of this is just because there's relaxation time under the seventh seal. There's rest. Now, I remember back in 76 when Brother Branham, when brothers were preaching that everything would be over in 77, it put a lot of pressure on the people. In fact, I was the treasurer in our church, or, you know, on the trustee board, and I saw the most money that ever came into that church come in on December, like the last December in 76. I mean, people emptied out their pockets of tithes that hadn't been paid in years and everything else. They were cleaning house. And there was a lot of pressure because of a false doctrine. And I remember back in December 31st of 76, a particular brother, I won't name his name, he's passed away. But he was in Tucson at a convention, and he was preaching that night, and he got the people so stirred because he said, "You won't see the morning. It's going to happen before 77. All this got to happen before 77. You're not, you know, it's just going to happen." And we got Brother Branham, and you know, vindicated prophet, and you know, you're not. And Brother Vail, as he's walking out the door, he said, "Well, I'll have coffee with you tomorrow morning." And the guy looked at Brother Vail like he's some kind of a unbeliever, didn't believe the prophet. But Brother Vail told me, he said, "I said that because there's too many events that have to take place first. You see?" And that's the problem. The people, number one, they don't know the message. Number two, they don't know the time and the season. All right? And so it has been 36 years have come and gone since 77. And many people left the message back then. Billy Paul says 3/4 of his mail left off in 77. Because of an erroneous understanding of what the prophet of God said concerning 77. We got the same thing with people thinking they know what Brother Vail said, and they don't. Because if he said anything contrary to a vindicated prophet, then he'd be wrong. And he's the first one to tell you. In fact, Brother Vail himself said, I can give you probably half a dozen places where he said it. He said, I don't understand it 100%, and nobody else does either. Now, Brother Vail don't understand 100%. And what does it put the people that feed from Brother Vail? They have no clue what they're talking about. In the church age, Brother Branham said, from the Laodicean church age, paragraph 15, I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the word, along with divine inspiration, that 1977 ought to terminate the world's systems and usher in the millennium. I'm going to make just take a moment to show you how errors occur in understanding this message. If you translate this message, if you translate what he said was the end of the world in 77 and the millennium begins in 77, you're wrong. But that's what many people did because they don't understand words. And Brother Vail is very specific in his words, and I'm going to tell you something. Many of those words don't translate into other languages. So they've got to guess. And you can go to a dictionary and try to find things out. And you know, when you go to a dictionary, you get 4 or 5 different meanings. You choose the wrong meaning, one word off is Satan's kingdom. You're finished. If your revelation depends on a dictionary, you're finished. You better have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take a moment here and just show you something. If you translate what I just read from Brother Branham into German as an example, the entire meaning of it changes from ought to the following. I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the word, along with divine inspiration, that 1977 would end the world system and usher in the millennium. Now it goes from ought to would. It's a lot more strong. Ought to, what does ought to mean? It means based on the way things are going, it ought to. It means there's it's not a firm thing. It's a, this is a progression. This is what it looks like. Now, then when you take it from German to Polish, it doesn't even read the word would. It reads the word will end, which is very, very affirmative. I sincerely believe and maintain as a private, this is what it says. If you take it from English to German, German to Polish. I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the word, along with divine inspiration, that 1977 will be the end of the world. And the systems enters the millennium. So instead of, as Brother Bram said, ought to terminate the world systems and usher in the millennium, two different things altogether. This says will be the end of the world. Oh, and the systems will enter the millennium. Now the systems are not going to enter the millennium. The systems are, Brother Bram said, they ought to be finished. Well, then when you take it from, Now, Brother Bram did not say that the world would end. He said the world systems would end. They ought to end by 77. Is that not what he said? He said they ought to end by 77. Okay? The problem is that if you take this directly from English to Polish, the translation is much better than if you take it from English to German, then to Polish. Because by the time you translate it two different languages, you're all messed up. You can't do it. I'm going to read it what it says from English to Polish. I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the word, along with divine inspiration, that 1977 should end systems of the world and usher in the millennium. Now should and ought to are the same thing. So you'd be much, much better taking it from English to Polish than you would from taking it to English to German. And then German to Polish. Now the word should is far different from the word will. As if you go from English to German, German to Polish, it says will. Listen, I did another translation of Brother Vail the other night. And Brother Vail on this. And Brother Vail in taking it, he said they don't understand. But when I took it from English to German, German to Polish, it said, I don't understand. Do it yourself. You can take a Google translation. It's better than a dictionary. I don't understand. Well, that's far different from they don't understand. Now, what I'm trying to say, brother, sister, if you don't even understand the English, which most people don't, how are you going to understand it when it's translated into different languages? It takes the Holy Ghost to give revelation, not a dictionary. If you got to go to a dictionary to get revelation, you're lost. I'll just say that. You're a lost person. Just lost. Now, the word should is far different from the word will. Should means ought to. When, in this case, is the same as the English word. So I hope you can see that when you try to take anything from English and translate to German and then to Polish, it is automatically going to be flawed. Then how in the world could anyone have a 100% perfect understanding based on a dictionary? Especially when Brother Vail himself said, I don't have it 100%, and I doubt anybody does. And if he didn't have 100%, you think the people sitting under him, feeding from him, are going to have 100%? Then why do people get so nitpicky-ish? I'll tell you why. It's a spirit. It's a demon. A demon separates himself from the brethren. Now, notice also, it is correct showing, when you took it from English to Polish directly, it shows it the end of the world system and ushering it. But when you take it from the German to the Polish and then to the, it says it's the end of the world and then the systems usher into the millennium. Well, if it's the end of the world, then he was wrong. But he wasn't. Because the people don't understand his wording. Now the word ought to in no way implies it is thus saith the Lord. The word ought to means a natural expectation. Like when you say he ought to be here by now. You're judging based on the time he left and how long it should take to get here. He ought to be here. But that leaves nothing in there for if the roads are clogged up. If there's any traffic congestion or anything else. You know. It ought to. In other words, it's an expectation. You see? And it also means a logical consequence. But man's logic has nothing to do with understanding the Word of God. So he's not saying it will be, as it is when you read it from the English to German to Polish and then back to English again. But he was saying, based on the way things are going, it ought to usher in the millennium by 77. Now, another point I want to make on this before we go ahead with our study today is there is a problem today with people's understanding in general. People just don't understand words, the meaning of words anymore. Brother Vail reminded us, one of his last sermons, when he said missioner, who was the guy who wrote the big one on Hawaii, you know, and wrote some great books. Missioner, Brother Vail showed us, missioner said, when words no longer have meaning, the nation is gone. The nation is gone. Furthermore, if we examine the entirety of this thought from Brother Branham, he said it ought to usher in the millennium. And people do not stop to think what it means to usher in. He said 1977 ought to usher in the millennium. By 1977, it ought to end the world systems. Now, that does not mean that the millennium will begin in 77. The word usher in, it means to lead or to be led. To usher one in is an act that takes a person from the door and brings them to their predetermined seating arrangement. In other words, the world systems were to end before 77, or ought to end before 77, and then by 77 there ought to be the ushering in of the millennium. Now, what system is used throughout the world that would be called the world system? It's not the form of government, because you have republics and you have democratic governments and you have dictatorships and you have kings and monarchs and you have everything. Just a whole what system is there throughout the world that everybody is affected by? And it's the economic system. It's the currency. There's no other system. They got different religions, you got different ethnic backgrounds, you got different languages, you got all these things that are different. There's only one thing that is universal, and that is everybody has left the gold standard, and they did August 15th, 1971, under Nixon. Officially, all countries left the gold standard and went to fiat currency, which no fiat currency has ever lasted more than 40 years. So it's been dying. The fiat currencies are dying and the whole world is in trouble because of it. And Brother Branham was right, because he said, by 1977, we ought to be, let me just read his verbatim. I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the word, along with the divine inspiration, that 1977 ought to terminate the world systems. In other words, bringing them to an end. And it did, because in 71 it happened. When we went off the gold standard, it's done. The whole thing's nothing but a shamble after that. And he said it would usher in the millennium. It would take us, there would be something come on in 77 or by 77 that would take us from the door, which Christ is the door, and would bring us to positionally place us to get us ready for the millennium. So it had to be what position places. Brother Brown said Ephesus. And he said Joshua parallels Ephesus. He said because Joshua is teaching. And he said a teacher positionally places the people. So it took a teaching ministry, which the only teacher, as Brother Vail told me many times, is the Holy Ghost. And as long as the Holy Ghost is on the scene, there will be teachers. He said, when I'm gone, people say there's no more teaching because Brother Vail's a teacher. He said, that's a lie. And we know that all liars go to the lake of fire. In fact, I can show you tape after tape where Brother Vail himself says, anybody who says you've got to listen to me is a liar, liar, liar. I'm quoting him verbatim, is a liar, 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 and he's on his road to the lake of fire. Amen. Now take that up with him. He said it, not me. Now, let's just go back to where we left. So the world systems, the USA... Nixon on August 15, 71, President Nixon in a speech took us off the gold standard altogether, and thus the world went off the gold standard as well, and thus the world entered into the chaos of fiat currency, which throughout the history of the world has never been stable, and no fiat currency has ever lasted more than 40 years. So the world systems are gone. You're living off the goodwill and trust of the United States. Well, if you can believe that, we got some land down in Florida somebody would like to sell you. And 70% of the world uses the dollar as a reserve currency. In other words, they base their currency on the word of the on the worth of the dollar. And if the dollar is becoming worthless, then the whole world's currency systems are also collapsing as well. Look what's happening in Japan and these places. I mean, we're going to be going into hyperinflation one of these days. They're doing everything. The government has been doing everything. It's been proved that they're doing everything they can, combining with the Fed to prop up the dollar. That's why what they're doing is they're buying up all this paper gold. It's worthless. It's not gold in hand. And you know, I just saw a film the other day. You know Ronald Reagan? He said in 1981, after he'd taken office, he said the United States has $15 billion worth of gold in their reserves. And he said, and we don't own a penny of it. So we haven't had any gold to back up our money. And Ronald Reagan told the world that. So the world is going crazy. And yet they're buying this paper to keep the real gold suppressed. But it's not going to work too long. No, the whole thing's going down. On getting back to the ushering in, we know that I already covered that. So anyway, 1977, it's interesting that Brother Vail brought on the understanding of the parousia, an epiphany, an apocalypse, and all these events that are taking place in this hour. You see, God using a man, because God is the teacher, but he uses men. And he used a man to introduce to us these things, which he had no clue himself when he did it, that this was actually in fulfillment of Brother Branham talking about the ushering in. Now, it's not just Brother Vail who did the placing, because anybody who's teaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is positionally and getting the people ready. Listen, there's a whole lot of people pointing to a man. A whole lot of people in Jeffersonville pointing to a man, William Branham. A whole lot of people in St. Paris and different places are pointing to a man, Lee Vail. And you know what? If they're following a man, they're lost. They're lost. There's only one man to follow, and that's Jesus Christ. Period. Now, as we approach our sermon on the end time events, which we call the millennium, this one, I'd like to answer the following questions concerning it. Number one, who will be there and who will not be there? Number two, what is the millennium? Number three, when will it come and how long will it last? Number four, where will it be? And number five, why is there to be these things, this thing called the millennium? Now, these are the five W's that we should always use when examining anything. They're very basic, and every child learns to use them when growing up. You say, why, Mama? When, Mama? What is it, Mama? You know? Now, number one. Now, this is the most easy one. Who will be in the millennium and who will not be there? And according to Scripture, God tells us that those who will be there are the elect of God and their offspring. Those who will not be there are the rest of mankind from throughout all the history of man. Now in Isaiah 65 verse 22 we read, and we get our answer of the who will be there. He says, they shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of trees are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So who's going to be there? The elect. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. So God's seed, that's who's going to be there. Brother Brown tells us who will not be there and who will be there in his sermon, Questions and Answers. He says, not just those who are good people, they certainly will miss the first resurrection. But the Bible said the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. Is that right? That's those who had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but refused the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just the elect goes in at that time. Just the elect takes the millennium. Oh, then, brother, what type of people should we be? I want to live through that millennium. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. If the fellow says something wrong or does something this way, pray for him and keep moving on. Let your one alternative be set towards God. If nobody else makes it, you make it. For there's going to be an elect who's going to live through the millennium age and will go in and out with Christ for 1,000 years, and then they shall go up into glory with him and return again. Now listen, what is he saying? He's saying if you want to sit and fuss and stew over words, go ahead, but you're not going to be there. You won't be there. He said, I would much rather you have a heart that is right before God than have your doctrine right. So there's no sense in fussing over doctrine, brother, sister. It's look, doctrine is important. Nobody has preached the doctrine as I have. Nobody. Brother Vail would tell you that if he was sitting here today. Amen. Nobody's gone around the world and done what I've done. And for people to say I don't teach what Lee Vail taught, they're fools. Because the Bible says fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot. And when Michael, the archangel, was arguing with the devil, he didn't even dare bring a railing accusation against the devil. And yet, I've got people every day from all over the world bringing railing accusations against me because they have no clue what Brother Vail taught and what Brother Branham taught. They have no clue. They got to use dictionaries to look up words. If you have to use a dictionary to look up words, you're never going to make it. I'm sorry. If you got to depend on a dictionary to get your revelation, you're lost. You're intellectual, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham said, only those with the Holy Ghost, those that are seed of God, will be there, period. And if you want to argue and fuss over things, you're not going to be there either. You take your stand with the word, and that's it. You treat everybody the same. You treat everybody with respect. Number two, what is the millennium? Well, the book of Revelation tells us it is a period of 1,000 years. William Branham tells us it is also the honeymoon of Christ and his bride here back on earth. Revelation 21, I saw another angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil, and bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and put a seal upon him that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loose for a season. And I saw the thrones and they that upon them, the judgments given unto them, etc., etc. And they that lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again 1,000 years. See, we have all these, it tells us 1,000 years. So, what is the millennium? It's a period of 1,000 years. Now, number three, when will the millennium take place? Brother Branham taught us it's after the war of Armageddon, after it cleans off the earth, which is the very end of the tribulation period. From questions and answers, he said the bride, when she's taken away, taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos, the bride goes to glory. The tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel, and then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. And then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years, the millennium reign. After that comes the white throne judgment. After that comes the new heavens and the new earth and the new city coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, and eternity and time blends together. Now, Brother Branham even says at this time, notice he says eternity and time blends together. When? After the millennium. Because you have millennium still a period of time. So when the angel in Revelation 10 and 7 says time shall be no more, that's a mistranslation. And if you go to the Scofield note, he'll even mention that it means time shall be no more delayed. No more delayed. In other words, we're now at the end. So basically, the what is a period of 1,000 years. Number four, where will the millennium take place? It'll be right here on earth. From Questions and Answers 54, 10, 103, Brother Branham said, Jesus returned back to the earth. The millennial reign sets in 1,000 years with him. Again, from Questions and Answers in August 30th of 64, he says, now the next thing left is the translation of the church, the return of Moses and Elijah, the millennial reign upon the earth with the bride and the groom for 1,000 years, and then the judgment bar, and then total annihilation of sin. It'll never be no more than at that time. Now, not the cease. The seals never ended time. Time or seasons until after the millennium. No, it still be time until after the millennium. So Brother Ram tells us when the seals happen, like some people preach, you know, they got their doctrine that time is blended with eternity. Time is no more. Listen, that's not what he said. He said it's not when the seals were opened. He says it's after the millennium. Because millennium is time. It's 1,000 years. All right, number five. The why is also answered in the scriptures that we just read. Why 1,000 years? Well, no man has yet lived 1,000 years in a body. Remember that God said to Adam, the day you eat thereof is the day you die. The longest man that ever lived was Methuselah, 969 years. Never made it to one full day. So God's going to bring his bride back for a whole day on earth. To show, to prove. To prove it can be done. In a body. Well, that's just one of them. All right. Also, God binds Satan, and by not allowing any without the Holy Ghost to be there, thus proving that Satan cannot affect anyone with the Holy Ghost, and with the elimination of all who do not have the Holy Ghost, he is completely bound, he is completely helpless. He can't get to anyone. So we're going to have 1,000 years with no people fussing over doctrine. Yeah. Because the people who fuss, they fuss because they don't understand. Christ and his elect come back to earth where Christ reigns in the hearts of his elect for 1,000 years. And we find Brother Brown tells us the why is also that he calls this 1,000 years the honeymoon of the bride with the groom with his bride. From future home, he says, help us, Lord, if there is one here that is called to this wedding supper of the Lamb, this 1,000 years of millennial reign, and then enter into the city after the honeymoon is over, the millennium is merely the honeymoon, then she, the bridegroom, takes his bride home. It's hers, her bridegroom, his bride. Oh, he's gone to prepare a house since he's become engaged. May we be true to him who is the Word, for he is the Word. And regardless of how others try to sass us, keep us away from it, Lord. Draw me nearer. For sometimes I grow homesick for heaven, and his glory I there shall behold. What a joy there shall be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold. And then he continues in paragraph 234. He says, the future home of the groom and the bride, he's coming back to take me to a wedding supper. It's going to be 3.5 days or years. Then return again in the millennium on our honeymoon. And then he's going to bring the city into view, like the bridegroom taking the bride to her surprise, how the little bride stands there in awe as she looks at her future home. And by faith today, Lord, we see it yonder. It'll be right here on this earth. You promised it. Your church will be completely redeemed one of these days, and then your word will be redeemed, the rest of the particles. But first you have redeemed your people's bodies that makes up the world. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, if you are not cleansed by the holy fire of God, that means receive a scouring, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to where you're not conscious of sin anymore. Brother Branham even told Brother Vale he had gotten to that place. Knows no more fear. If you haven't been scoured by the holy fire of God, you'll never be in the new Jerusalem, and you'll never be in the new earth, because the new earth, this earth has got to be completely scoured by fire too. And from future home, he says, paragraph 233, help us, Lord, if there is one here that is called to this wedding supper of the Lamb, this 1,000 years of millennial reign, and to then enter into the city after the honeymoon is over, the millennium is merely the honeymoon, then the bridegroom takes his bride home. It's her bridegroom, his bride. Oh, he's gone to prepare a house since he's become engaged. May we be true to him who is the Word, for he is the Word, regardless of how others try to sass us. Keep us away from it, Lord. Draw me near, for sometimes I grow homesick. Okay? Now, if we are to understand what the millennium is, we must also understand what it is not. It is not the new earth. It is not the new Jerusalem. Those events are much later. From questions and answers, again, August 30th, 64, paragraph 80, Brother Brown said, we got 1,000 years after the church has gone home and comes back upon the earth. Then time ceases in the new heavens and new earth. Now, the millennium is not the new heavens and new earth. There will still be sin after the millennium. The millennium is a type of Noah going into the ark and carried over and brought Ham and them on the other side. And sin even comes out of the ark. See, but Enoch, the translated one, was the type of the bride that went up, not the one that was carried over. So sin will be still on the other side of the millennium, but not during the millennium. Well, how does it get there? By the general resurrection. When the general resurrection takes place and everybody's resurrected, Then Satan says, wow, we got more of them than they got. They're in the city. Let's go get them. And so they encamp against the encampment of God. And then he comes with his bride, with a sword coming out of his mouth, riding on a white horse. Right? See, he says, during the millennium is peace. See, but sin will be dealt with on the other side of the millennium, and then time fades out. And now the opening of the seven seals that was given us by the Holy Spirit, the seven seals, only was to make known what had been left off in the dispensations behind us. Now, after the millennium is over, the honeymoon is over. The second or general resurrection will take place. Then the rebellion will occur, the great war between God and Satan. Now, who's going to rebel on the other side? Those who rebel on this side. Huh? Same spirit. When Jesus tells that story about the man who was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham sitting on the other side of the gulf. And he said, Abraham, can you bring me some water? He said, can't do it. He said, well, then would you go tell my brothers so that they won't be where I end up? And he said, no, I can't do it. And he argued and argued and argued. They're going to have that same argumentative spirit. Now, questions and answers on the Holy Ghost, brother Branson. The Holy Ghost filled people is the first resurrection of the elect. And the remnant of those, the rest of the dead, live not for 1,000 years after the millennium. Then the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment. See, that's exactly Bible order. Now, I do not believe this will be the war with weapons. When he talks about this great battle that takes place. I don't believe it'll be a war with weapons, like physical weapons, like a nuclear arsenal or having guns with bullets or having swords that are physical swords and spears and all that kind of stuff. Because we're going to be immortal beings. How can you be killed with a weapon? Huh? It will be a war of words. That is the way Satan fights his best. He takes words and then he twists them. It is true that Jesus comes on a white horse with a sword, but notice where the sword is coming from. His mouth. It's not in his hand. It's in his mouth. And it's called the Word of God. And the sword cometh from what? Now notice Revelation 2 and 16. Repent or I will come unto thee quickly and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. How is he going to fight? With the sword of my mouth. What's that? The Word of God. Revelation 19:21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. God don't have to fight with bows and arrows and all this nonsense. God will just speak the word, and they're going to be defeated. Revelation 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. In Revelation 1 and 16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as it were the sun that shineth in his strength. Now, from the Pergamian church age, Brother Branham said, now you say, well, where does deity lay in this? He with a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, well, the sword is the word. Hebrews 4. He took it in the beginning when he run that deity of him down. The sword we found in Hebrews 4 and 12, that was the word of God, is sharper than a two-edged sword. Is that right? That was the word of God. And from oneness, he said, and the sword is plenty sharp. Hebrews 4. And is sharper than any two-edged sword that cuts both coming and going, and even goes to the marrow of the bone and in the joints and the discerner of the thoughts of the heart. It goes beyond the physical. So the sword we're talking about goes beyond the physical. He said it goes into the spiritual realm and picks up the thoughts and reveals them. The Spirit of God, the Word of God. Now, that word will cut in there if there's enough arm behind it to push it in. It'll find its place and cut every promise and give it to you. If you've got the strength enough in your arm behind it. In other words, if you believe that word, the sword, pick it up in the arm of faith, grip it tight, hold on to it, and walk into the face of the enemy. And how can that uncircumcised enemy ever stand in the presence of the eternal God? So you take the sword of the word and every promise that belongs to you, and you pick it up in strong in your hand of faith, walk forward. If you need healing, cut it out with the word. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you need salvation, every promise in the Bible is yours. It lays back in there, and Satan trying to hide it. But take the sword and push through the darkness until the light of God shines in upon your soul, and you have the promise, and he'll do it. That's what John 14:12 is all about. He said, ask what you will, and I will do it. You know, if Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do, and Jesus himself said, I don't do any works. It's the Father that does the works. The Son only does what the Father shows him. Good grief. Now again, in review, Brother Branham said in questions and answers, the church, the lukewarm, anything outside of the elected bride will go through the tribulation period. They will not raise in the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years, just the foreordained, predestinated, elected bride. God's own election. Who is it, Brother Branham? I don't know. I can't tell you who it is, but I know it's going to be there because the Lord said it would be there. See? They are the ones that will go up from the tribulation, but the rest of them will go through the tribulation, go down, and everything will be killed before the millennium. So everything's killed before the millennium. There's not going to be people hiding in bunkers and come out after the tribulation period. I'm sorry, they're gone. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, it says they'll have their visitation there, and the rocks will seal them up. Brother Branham said they'll be shook to death if there's nuclear going on. Then the righteous shall come out in the millennium and live 1,000 years, still reading for Brother Branham. And after the 1,000 years, then the great white throne judgments come. And then the dead, both right and wrong, is raised. And the books are opened, the book of life was opened, and the saints, the wife, and the husband set and judge the world. And there it comes to pass the saying, and he'll judge all nations with the rod of iron. All nations shall stand before him there, and he'll judge them with the rod of iron. He'll separate the sheep from the goats and say to the goats, depart, and the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father. Then after this great war, we will enter into a period of time for the white throne judgment. And at that time, the punishment will be handed out. Satan, with his host, will be sent to the lake of fire and eventually annihilated. Then the earth will be once again destroyed by fire, but this time it'll be the holy fire of God. And then the new Jerusalem will come down at that time. Now, this holy fire of God will do several things. It'll be so hot and so high that the entire world will be rid of all germ life and all water. And that is the point. Well, that's what I want to bring out here in this next point from Brother Branham. So now the baptism of fire is to cleanse it from sin, from sickness, from disease germs, from sinners, from the devil and all of his group. He's to be cast out into the lake of fire, holy fire from God. Holy fire from God comes down from God out of heaven, and it burns it up. Notice, to make it ready for God to dwell in. For God in the new world that is to come is to dwell in the earth. Because you say, well, God dwells in the human heart. But he and the bride becomes one, and they go to their home in the new world. And the same plan of redemption is used to redeem both world and the person that lives in the world. So God's going to destroy, you know, he's got to cleanse you with the holy fire in order to be there in the new heaven and the new earth that have been totally cleansed by the holy fire. Because look, if God doesn't cleanse you first, that he'll cleanse you with the other fire. See, the heart has to be cleansed like that before God can come down in the person of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ coming down and dwell in the human heart. It first must be repented. It must be baptized in water in his name to show who it belongs to. Then it must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then the holy fire and the Holy Ghost from God comes down and burns out all the desire of sin, all the nature of the world. And therefore, he that sins willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, then again the Bible said it's impossible for that man that's born again of God, he cannot sin. He does not sin. There's no way for him to sin. How can he be a sinner and redeemed at the same time? So if you're still pulling deals in your work or whatever, I'm sorry, you haven't been born again. And if you haven't been born again, you have not been cleansed by the holy fire of God. Because he that is born of God does not sin. He does not initiate sin. There's no desire for sin. No desire for the things of the world. Now from the future home, Brother Brown said, the Bible said, Peter said, and the heavens will pass away and earth with a great noise. Such an explosion will rock it, oh my, because it's got to kill every disease, every thistle, every thorn, everything there is to be done. The fire will burn it up. And remember, it's not altogether just a literal fire. It's a holy fire, see, that will take away Satan and all of his all of the devils, both heaven and earth, amen, will pass away, killing all the germs, all the insects, all natural life on it and around it. Even the H2O, the water, will explode. Think of it. Talk about noise. You think that little noise out here in Tucson was something when he opened the sixth seal. That shook the country around about and caused that talk. But wait till this earth receives her baptism. Now, I'd like to just add this. What would come down out of heaven and take all the H2O off the earth? Brother Don, I think you know the answer. The last time wormwood came through our galaxy, it sucked all the water off the planet Mars. And when it passed by the earth, it brought such a flood that Noah was warned of God to build an ark for the saving of his house. And don't forget, that is the first time God cleansed the earth, and he did it by water. Then 2,000 years later, he cleansed it by the blood of his son Jesus, the Lamb of God. And then the next time he cleanses the earth, through his perfection, he will do it by the fire of God. So what will suck off all the water from the earth that there will be no more sea? It sounds like wormwood to me. But it's still quite a ways off. We don't have to worry about it in this life. It's still far off in the future and not until after the millennium. At least as far as I can see from what Brother Branham has said. Now, from Revelation 21:1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." That explains it. All right, now from Future Home, Brother Branham said, paragraph 117, "Now, or after time has been fulfilled, all sin is gone, taken away at the millennium, at the great white throne judgment, a type of the Holy Ghost, after the world is on fire and baptized, its baptism a holy fire from God, all sin is gone, all germs is gone, all devils is gone, all temptation is gone, all evil is gone," type now. Then what does God do? "He can set upon the earth, see, because all sin is gone." And again, from paragraph 139 of Future Home, he said, "God and his creation and his creatures of this creation is redeemed by his blood, cleansed by his own cleansing process, his germ-killing, sin-killing process. Like if anything is sterilized, the best sterilization we've ever had has been fire. You can take anything and wash it with soap suds and all these chemicals that they talk about, it still ain't free. But you burn it once. And when the holy fire of God sterilizes the earth, when the chemicals, and he's lifted up his bride, which can come into heaven with him while this is all going on, and come back upon the earth again, a new heaven and a new earth." So we've got a few trips to make. One in the rapture to that other dimension where we spend 3.5 years. 2, we come back to earth. 3, we're lifted up again when this big thing happens. And then we go back to earth again. Now, from Future Home, Brother Branham said, "John, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And where did it settle on? Just exactly like it did on there upon the earth. Jesus was part of that earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon, is that right? And remained on him forever. It never will leave him, for it's always there, and he and God are one, always has to remain. And so John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending like a comet." What? Let me read that again. "And so John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending like a comet or a dove, coming down out of the earth and settling upon and redeemed the entire earth." Notice it, redeemed the entire earth. What does that mean? Holy fire of God. To do what? To claim every attribute that he made the earth for, every man that was represented in the eternity, and every woman is redeemed then. She's been scoured and burned by fire. Jesus in his fiery temptation in the wilderness for 40 years. After that, notice it was ready for his ministry then. Now think of it. The Holy Ghost descending upon the earth, Jesus and that holy blood. Now watch. I hope I don't go too deep for you here, see? So if he saw the new Jerusalem coming down like a comet to cleanse the earth with the holy fire of God, then who are we to say any different? Finally, from Future Home, paragraph 165, Brother Brown said, "Now you can plainly see, as I said, this change. The earth must be changed. I cannot have it like it cannot have it like it is. The world could not go right on after the millennium without being changed. See? To have such a place in it, it'll have to be changed, just like we must have to be changed by its holy fire, to condition and make a place for him to be contained within us. That is the Holy Ghost. So we see God's holy fire will destroy every devil, every germ. Then he will have a new Jerusalem and a new earth with a new Jerusalem. But before we can ever be ready to live there, we must first be cleansed by the holy fire of God and washed by the washing of water by the word. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because we have both your scripture and a vindicated prophet. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to every word. As Brother Branham said, say what is on the tapes. And yet we have so many that will contradict what's on the tape. But we have confidence in the vindication wherewith you vindicated your prophet. No other man was vindicated. Other men, Brother Branham said nice things about, but none of them were vindicated. And so, Lord, our concession and our confession is that we've received, thus saith the Lord. And as your prophet said, we will either have, thus saith the Lord, or we will keep still. We will not add to, we will not take from. We will say only what your word said. As Paul said, if any man preaches any other doctrine than what I have preached, let him be cursed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord shed his grace upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.